Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda. Jai Advaita Chandra Jai Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda. Jai Advaita Chandra Jai Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda. Jai Advaita Chandra Jai Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Right, so to start off with, we will read a couple of verses actually from Chaitanya Charitamrita. Let's see. Actually, it's Majja Lila chapter 7, beginning with verse 146. I said 147 to our. Just while we're at it, have you met Arjuna Charan Prabhu? Anyway, there he is. He's Hari Bol. He's really nice devotee from Russia, a place called Sochi, which I suppose you haven't really heard of, southwestern Russia on the Black Sea, kind of slightly warmer part of a rather cool country. And he's here to help with our, you know, just wait until you see. We're going to have 8 cameras. Now we've only got 4. We've actually got 2 new ones. But next weekend, we'll have 6 to 8. So you'll have to watch out because we'll be zooming in on you. So, yeah, he's nice and he speaks English. Yeah. Not as well as yourselves, but quite understandable. So please, at a distance, of course, because he's one of us. We are the in crowd. Really in. We don't go out. You're the out crowd. Yeah. But he's very nice. And if you speak Russian, you can speak with him. You know, when I'm in Russia, I'm speaking Russian practically the whole time. But now I'm here, it's just the atmosphere is English, so I even speak English to him. All right, so yes, that's nice. So here we go. Chaitanya Charitamrita, Majja Lila, chapter 7, which is titled...
Okay.
The chapter is titled, The Lord Begins His Tour of South India. So as we said, verses 146 to 148. Let me just get the Bengali up here. Kintu Achilan Bala Adama Adama Hana Eve Ahankara Mora Janmibe Asya. Being meek and humble, the Brahmin Vasudev worried that he would become proud after being cured by the grace of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And you know what I'm going to do? I'm actually going to, so I don't have to just turn around all the time. Can you help me with this? Just somehow. I want to put this on my lap. This is a heavy duty computer. Because we have to do some heavy-duty processing of video files. 6K video. And you know, the one thing about him is he's a technological expert. You think you're a technological expert? Forget it. Okay, so back to Chaitanya Charitamrita. Let me just read that translation again. Being meek and humble, the Brahmin Vasudeva worried that he would become proud after being cured by the grace of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, because Vasudev had leprosy. And leprosy, you know, it's not as common as COVID, but it's a real disaster, leprosy. So let's go on. So Lord Chaitanya cured him. To protect the Brahmin, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu advised him to do what, devotees? Because he was afraid he would become proud after being cured of leprosy. So to protect him from becoming proud, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu advised him to... You're too humble already. You don't need a seminar on humility. Advised him to chant the Hare Krishna mantra incessantly. By doing so, he would never become unnecessarily proud. I don't know what necessarily proud means. That's interesting, isn't it? Well, we did mention the other day, you could be proud of Krishna. We have the best Lord. Sure. Proud of Prabhupada. We have the best spiritual master. Yeah. Anything other than that, you got to watch out. We got the best scriptures. I think we got the best stories too. So now that's something we can all learn from, right? You want to avoid pride, which is like cancer, like COVID, like leprosy. It's just ghastly, shocking, and deadly. You should chant the Hare Krishna mantra incessantly. And verse 148, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also advised Vasudeva to preach about Krishna and thus liberate living entities. As a result, Krishna would very soon accept him as his devotee. Now that's a really interesting point and important. We want to be accepted by Krishna as part of his team, not just an onlooker, not just a member of the audience, but actually part of the team which is putting on the program. So if we want to be accepted, I mean, we've all been accepted because we're all practicing to different degrees, I think, you know, different devotees are on different levels. But basically those, if you're here today, I would say you are part of the team, even though you may be in the audience in a sense. But I think you're part of the team because you could be just somewhere else, you know, wherever it might be, jolling, as they say. But we are jolling here. In Krishna consciousness. So yeah, you want to be accepted by Krishna as really one of the inside team in his heart. Then chant Hare Krishna. I mean really, really chant. attentively. And plus, preach, try and help others to become Krishna conscious. Srila Prabhupada gives a shortish purport here, let me just read it. Although Vasudeva Vipra was a leper and had suffered greatly, still after Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu cured him, he instructed him to preach Krishna consciousness. Indeed, the only return the Lord wanted was that Vasudeva preach the instructions of Krishna and liberate all human beings. That is the process of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Each and every member of this society was rescued from a very abominable condition. Hari Bol. Now you may be sitting there thinking, you know, I was a nice Hindu. What do you mean, got rescued from a abominable condition? Well, if I ever write my memoirs, then I tell you, you won't believe it. Actually, you definitely won't believe it. I guarantee it. But actually, we've all been rescued from abominable conditions, even if we're from nice, even like vegetarian Hindu families. Want to speak of a wild white man like me from New Zealand? Oh my God. Oh my. Oh my God. All right, so. So now Prabhupada's talking about how the devotees have been rescued, and now they're engaged in preaching Krishna consciousness. They're not only cured of the disease called materialism, but they're also living a very happy life. Everyone accepts them as great devotees of Krishna, and their qualities are manifest in their very faces. If one wants to be recognized as a devotee by Krishna, he should take to preaching work, following the advice of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Then one will undoubtedly attain the lotus feet of Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Lord Krishna himself, without delay. Isn't that nice? That is just really nice. I thought we could take it next step a little further by giving just a couple of examples from, well, they're all from the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya, of humility. Some particular incidents where devotees, associates of Lord Chaitanya, exhibited humility in very nice ways. Any genuine display of humility is nice. But these are some that I'm quite fond of. There is one pastime of Lord Chaitanya with his assistant named Govinda, who was actually his godbrother. Means they were both initiated by the same spiritual master, who was Ishvara Puri. But Ishvara Puri, just before he left this world, he instructed Govinda, one of his little prominent disciples, that you please go find Chaitanya, and you stay with him, and you become his assistant, personal assistant. So he did that. And Lord Chaitanya, every day after lunch, Lord Chaitanya would take a short nap. Srila Prabhupada called a short nap a snap. It's different from just an ordinary nap. It's a short nap, a snap. Actually, one time, Prabhupada, I was not personally present, although I was in the sort of the same the temple in just outside London in Bhaktivedanta Manor. Prabhupada was meeting with George Harrison, and somehow the subject of sleeping came up. And George Harrison mentioned how certain materially great persons more or less stopped sleeping. He gave the example of Napoleon the First. He virtually stopped sleeping. And it said that he would only sleep while riding on a horse from one battlefield to the next. That's what they say. And who else? Gandhi didn't sleep at one stage. Because on one hand, he was very driven. On the other hand, he was so harassed by followers. Now, if you think having followers is fun, just wait till you get some. I mean, sometimes it's very nice if it's a Krishna conscious situation, but his wasn't. And he couldn't sleep. Sometimes he would just fall asleep on the train, just doze off, but that's not really sleeping. So anyway, Prabhupada and George Harrison were talking about that. And Srila Prabhupada said, yes, every day after lunch, I take a short nap, a snap. And Prabhupada said, as I'm lying down, practically every time I think, here I go, wasting my time again. Bhagavatam says, sleep is like death, because you might as well be dead. Anyway, we've drifted off the subject. Lord Chaitanya, of course, he's transcendental. He's really transcendental. Really, really. But every day he had this practice that he would take a short nap after lunch. And he would lie on one side. Srila Prabhupada said, best to lie on your left side. And our godbrothers, you know, back in those days when we joined, I joined, you know, it's almost 50 years ago, the great majority were coming from hippie backgrounds. And, you know, so many had been really heavily into drugs. So Prabhupada said that if you're going to take a little rest sometime, best to lie on your left side. And he said, yes, left side down. And the devotees got it, and they said, oh, LSD. And that became a bit of a joke amongst the devotees for a while. Do you want some LSD? Anyway, Harry Ball. So Lord Chaitanya would take rest. And Lord Chaitanya had this little residence. It was one room, but it was so small, it was only long and wide enough for him to lie down in. And the roof was like, well, it's still there if you go to Puri. It was like a meter. The roof level, the ceiling level was like a meter, or you definitely couldn't come anywhere near standing upright. So he would often just lie down outside. And what Govinda would come around behind Lord Chaitanya, who's lying on his left side, and massage his back from behind. So one day, Lord Chaitanya, he did like that. He lay down on his left side, but with his back literally against the wall and the door of this little place where he lived, which was called the Gundicha. And now here's Govinda. He is meant to massage Lord Chaitanya's back, but he can't get behind him. So what he did something which is very unusual for cultured Vaishnavas. I mean, not just unusual, I would say it's basically unheard of. He actually stepped over the body of Lord Chaitanya into the doorway and sort of went into the little dwelling place, turned around, and came back out behind Lord Chaitanya's back and massaged him. Yeah, you know, if you've been around for a while, you'd know that stepping over, particularly a devotee's body, or stepping over anything sacred, and a devotee's body is very sacred, that this is a big no-no. And if you stick around with devotees long enough, even if you don't know it, don't worry. You will find out, because the devotees will tell you, Prabhu, don't do that. Our devotees get a little, you know, forceful sometimes. It's all well-intentioned, usually. Yeah, no, it's all well-intentioned. So, now here's Govinda behind Lord Chaitanya massaging. And he'd massage, and then Lord Chaitanya would fall asleep just for a little while. Now we're talking about minutes, like 15 minutes perhaps, something like that, just a snap. And then normally Govinda would get up and go away and have lunch. So that now this time, he's already behind Lord Chaitanya. He stepped over his body in order to do the service. But now he's finished. Lord Chaitanya's fallen asleep. So what to do now? What do you think? Step back over? Do you think so? No. He just stayed there. He just stayed there. And sure enough, after some minutes, Lord Chaitanya woke up and, you know, got himself together and turned around and saw, oh, Govinda, you're still here. And Lord Chaitanya asked him, why didn't you go and have lunch? Every day you go and have lunch as soon as, you know, when I've just dozed off a bit, why didn't you go take lunch? And of course the reason was that Govinda didn't want to step over the body of the Lord. And Lord Chaitanya got, you know, just a little strong with him. Why didn't you do that? Why didn't you just go and have lunch? What are you sitting here for? Something like that. And Govinda, if you read it, it's very nice. Govinda did not say anything. He could have said, well, you know, and given the explanation. And Lord Chaitanya, anyway, he didn't. Lord Chaitanya, he just sat there looking down. And Lord Chaitanya said, why didn't you just go out the same way you came in? Over the Lord's body. And Govinda, Chaitanya Charitamrita, quotes his thoughts, that he didn't say anything, he just looked down, silent, and he thought, I'm willing to do anything if it's service for you, but if it's just for my sense gratification and comfort, then I'll be extremely careful. So this was the humility of Govinda, very wonderful devotee, and his logic. So that's an example I like. It's a story I like very much. Then another one is actually pretty lengthy, but I'll just take the essence, or one part of the essence. Manavendra Puri, who was, actually he was the spiritual master of Lord Chaitanya's spiritual master. Yeah, so he was a little before the time of Lord Chaitanya, really. So in his last days, just before he passed away, he entered into a mood. I mean, he was always in a mood of separation from Krishna. Very deep and emotional mood of feeling the absence of the Lord from his life. But particularly in the last weeks, before he actually passed away. And he was repeatedly quoting one verse, which is from, it's a verse from Srimati Radharani. Actually, it said, only three people chant this verse. One is Radharani, one is Lord Chaitanya, and one is Madhavendra Puri. It's a verse in lamentation, in separation from Krishna. And now Madhavendra Puri, he was aware. He was approaching the end of his life. It means it was just days away. He was completely physically incapacitated, couldn't even stand up. And he was just reciting this verse, practically non-stop. A verse of lamentation and separation from Krishna, even though he was just such a great devotee. In fact, what to speak about being a great devotee, he had actually descended from Goloka Vrindavan specifically to help establish the movement of Lord Chaitanya a generation or even a little more before the Lord appeared. So this is the verse which he was just again and again reciting. Ai Dina Dayadranathe Maturanatha Kadavalokise Hridayam Twad Aloka Kataram Dayata Brahmyati Kim Karomyaham. Beautiful verse, which means, O my Lord, O most merciful Master, O Master of Mathura, when shall I see you again? Because of my not seeing you, my agitated heart has become unsteady. O most beloved one, what shall I do now? Kim karomyaham. That's the concluding last couple of few words. Kim karomyaham. What shall I do now? Of course, he was already with Krishna, even while just living in this world. He was with Krishna. He was in Goloka Vrindavan already with Krishna. But in the humility of a devotee, he didn't take himself to be like that. Rather, he took himself to be very unqualified, unfortunate, undeserving. And therefore he was wondering, what shall I do? I'm separated from you, my Lord. And I know I shouldn't be, but I am. So, Kim Karomyaham, what shall I do now? Here's another example from Lord Chaitanya himself. That Lord Chaitanya, after his father passed away, Lord Chaitanya was 20-ish when his father passed away. And he went to Gaya to do the last rites for his departed father. And there he met his spiritual master, Ishvara Puri, who he had already met before. Ishvara Puri had stayed in Navadvipa for some time, and Lord Chaitanya had associated with them over a few months, fairly regularly, and he was very deeply struck by the association of Ishwarapuri. But he never approached him to be initiated. So then they met in Gaya, not more than a year, maybe less than a year later, after Lord Chaitanya's father left this world. So up until that time, Lord Chaitanya had not been exhibiting himself as a devotee much, a little bit here and there, but actually generally very little. And even fairly regularly, he acted like he was not interested or even didn't really like Krishna consciousness. Yeah. Taunting the devotees and, oh, why do you jump up and down and all that and yell and scream? That sort of kind of sarcastic type of attitude. But then one time, it's described in Chaitanya Bhagavat particularly, one time one of his school friends, when he's still just young, he's still at school, one of his school friends, Mukunda Dutt, who had regularly been preaching to Lord Chaitanya, despite Lord Chaitanya just often telling him, well, just get out, leave me alone, will you? That sort of thing. So one time, he again preached to Lord Chaitanya, and Lord Chaitanya said, all right, all right, all right, listen. You know, you keep on and on. You want me to become a devotee, yeah? Is that what you want? And Mukunda Dutt said, yes, definitely. You could be a very good devotee. And Lord Chaitanya said, all right then. If you insist, I'll become a devotee. All right. And Mukunda Dutt thought, wow, what happened all of a sudden? And then Lord Chaitanya, he got into it. He said, yeah, okay, I'll become a devotee. All right, I'll become a devotee. And I tell you one thing, when I become a devotee, I'm going to become the best devotee. In fact, you will never have seen a devotee like me. And now Mukunda's thinking, oh no. He's just completely, he's too much. And Lord Chaitanya said, you know, I will become such a devotee that Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva will come to offer their obeisances to me. And Mukunda was just, he's too much. It's too much. I can't deal with it. So that then Lord Chaitanya became a devotee, or, you know, manifested himself as a devotee. And really as the topmost of the devotees there in that town, city of Navadvip. And such a devotee, everyone, particularly the devotee community, Lord Chaitanya became the leader of the devotee community by far, in a class of his own. And one time, it's actually described in Chaitanya Charitamrita, one time one devotee approached Lord Chaitanya and glorified him, that you are such a devotee. It's so wonderful. You are such a great, great devotee. And Lord Chaitanya just stopped him and said, listen, the devotee said, you are on the level of Krishna Prema completely. You have unlimited love for Krishna. And Lord Chaitanya stopped him and said, listen, I actually have no love for Krishna at all, nothing. And Lord Chaitanya said, you know, if I had any love for Krishna at all, I would not be able to tolerate living in this gross material body, in this gross material world. I wouldn't be able to tolerate it. I would just give up my life on the spot. And Lord Chaitanya said that, just look at me. Look at how I live. My only interest is maintaining my body, eating and sleeping very nicely, and keeping comfortable. That's all I'm interested in. So, what are you talking about? I'm a great devotee. I have love for Krishna. It's rubbish. And, you know, we're sort of exploring the subject of humility. And one aspect of humility is that when someone really is humble, is that they certainly don't think they're humble. They just think they're just being realistic. You know, I'm not a great devotee, I'm an idiot. And they actually feel, and if you say, no, you're not, they will explain how they are. But this is one symptom of humility, is that the devotee may not even think that he or she is a devotee. I'm a sad excuse for a devotee. I'm just a make-believe devotee. So this is what Lord Chaitanya was saying. Now, I want to, and in fact, I'm going to do my level best to play for you a recording of Srila Prabhupada expressing humility. Great humility. Okay, Prabhupada. I just have to figure out how to do this. Not like that, is it? Can you help us here? Where are the speakers? Underneath?
No.
Because the doctor, they are offering, he cannot refuse. Dhimam bhakti opposite.
Can you hear that?
What you can offer to Krishna, everything.
Can you hear that? Okay, let me just rewind.
What do you have got? What is your land?
Okay, here we go.
Krishna, just like mother mom. You are talking like Sanatana. Mother mom, Sanatana was saying at that time, had no temple. You are hanging tree. So, mother mom was talking with him, Sanatana. Bringing all these dry chapatis, and it is stale. And you don't give me even little salt. How can I eat?
Can you hear it? Okay, just hang on.
You are talking.
Just help me here. No, we've got to sort this out. Where is, look, there, see? Mm-hmm. Is that a speaker?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe. You see it?
Krishna, just like mother mom. You are talking with Sanatana Goswami. Mother mom, Sanatana Goswami at that time had no temple. He was hanging his tree. So, mother mom was talking
You can hear that? Okay. Here we go again.
Krishna, that time, Mother Mom, you are talking like Sanatana Goswami. Mother Mom, Sanatana Goswami at that time had no temple. You are hanging the tree. So, Mother Mom was talking with him, Sanatana, meaning all these dry chapatis and these stale. I don't give me even little salt. How can I eat? Sanatana Goswami says, sir, where shall I go? Whatever I get, I offer you. You kindly accept. I cannot know old man. So Krishna had to eat that. Because the bhakta is offering, he cannot refuse. Jimam bhaktyakrishit. The real thing is bhakti. What you can offer to Krishna, everything belongs to Krishna. What you have got, what is your value? And what is the value of your things? It is nothing. Therefore, the real thing is bhaktya. The real thing is your feeling. Krishna, kindly take. I have no qualification. I am most rotten, fallen. But I applaud this thing for you, please say. This will be answered. Don't be patta. Always be careful. You are dealing with Krishna. That is my request. Thank you.
Did you hear that? Sort of. Kind of. I should have. Anyway, maybe we'll try again tomorrow. Amplify it. Really, do something specific. So, Srila Prabhupada, yeah, humility. Srila Prabhupada is a great example of humility. And I want to read a couple of things to you now from Srila Prabhupada, in which Srila Prabhupada manifests his humility. Yes, so let's see. Devotee asks Prabhupada, how can one remain humble in executing his devotional service? Prabhupada, yes. If he thinks himself that I am non-entity, helpless, then he can remain. If he thinks I can do something, I've got so much intelligence, then he cannot become humble. Just like child is humble always, because he knows that I'm completely helpless. Unless mother helps me, I'm completely helpless. Therefore, whenever he's in need of something, he cries, mother, help me. This is helplessness. Helplessness. Always. Karpanye. This is one of the items of surrender. Unless you think yourself helpless, you cannot surrender. Surrender is complete when you think yourself that you are helpless. I'm helpless, but because I'm surrendered to Krishna, he'll save me. This faith also must be there, that although I'm helpless, I'm factually helpless, but because I'm surrendered to Krishna, I have no danger. He'll help me, protect me. Okay, here's another one. When I left your country on the 22nd of July, I had very little hope to come back again. But Krishna informed me that I'm not going to die immediately. Therefore, I've come back again to get inspiration of Krishna consciousness from you all, good souls. Although officially I'm your spiritual master, I consider you all students as my spiritual master, because your love for Krishna and service for Krishna teach me how to become a sincere Krishna conscious person. Devotee, you must be higher than the Paramahansa stage, Prabhupada. Paramahansa's topmost stage of all. Parama, supreme, Hansa, swan, supreme, supremely swan-like person, purest devotee. You must be higher than the Paramahansa stage, Prabhupada. Prabhupada, I'm lower than you. I'm lower than you. Devotee, you're so beautiful. You're Paramahansa, but still you're preaching to us. Prabhupada, no, I'm lower than you. I'm the lowest of all creatures. I'm simply trying to execute the order of my spiritual master. That's all. That should be the business of everyone. Try your best. Try your best to execute the higher order. That is the safest way of progressing. One may be in the lowest stage, but if he tries to execute the duty entrusted upon him, he's perfect. He may be in lower stage, but because he's trying to execute the duty entrusted to him, then he's perfect. That is the consideration. That's a very important point. Everyone has a duty in Krishna consciousness. And if anybody doesn't have one, they should get one. And if you can't get one, go ask Vrajavasi Prabhu, and I can assure you he'll give you one. And if he can't, come and ask me, I'll give you one. We've got plenty for you to do. But we should all, everyone should have a prescribed duty. And understand that, in fact, Srila Prabhupada said, that if the bona fide authorities give you some service, then you should understand that Krishna personally wants me to do this. Sometimes devotees wonder, how could I know, how could I find out what Krishna wants me to do? Well, if the bona fide authorities give you some service, you can take it that Krishna personally wants you to do this. Okay, so here's a little more. Prabhupada, this is a letter of Srila Prabhupada's to one of his disciples. Actually, I am dependent on your mercy. If you kindly follow my instructions and continue to push on Krishna consciousness, that will make me very happy. You must very strictly observe the regulative principles and chant 16 rounds a day, and Krishna will give you guidance. Yeah, okay. Yeah. So here's another one. This is from a letter, October 16th, 1968. It is all Krishna's grace that he has sent such nice assistance to me for executing the mission of my spiritual master. Personally, I am non-entity. I have come here on the order of my spiritual master, and he's kindly sent you all boys and girls to assist me. So whatever's being done, there's no credit for me. But all the credit goes to my spiritual master, because he's arranged everything. And I'm simply trying to abide by his order. Okay, let's just see one more. Okay. From my personal point of view, I think that I am so sinful that I cannot even approach Krishna to show me any favor, to ask Krishna, please favor me. But I have only one hope, my spiritual master. He is very kind. So some way or other, he's dragging me towards Krishna. That is the only hope. Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita says, therefore, Guru Krishna, by the mercy of the spiritual master and by the mercy of Krishna, one gets into Krishna consciousness. Narada Muni is our original spiritual master, and he has dragged so many fallen souls towards Krishna. And we are also hoping to be dragged by him through the disciplic succession. Otherwise, if we study our own qualifications, there is none. Rather, I have got so many disqualifications. So, yeah, so these are some, there are some more too. Quotations from Srila Prabhupada expressing his own mood of humility. Prabhupada, such an inconceivable devotee. We have experience of different devotees we associate with. Prabhupada's kind of from another dimension of Krishna consciousness. Therefore, it's very important, it's essential to read the biographies of Prabhupada. That'll help you tune in to Prabhupada. You've got to tune in. Yeah. Otherwise, you know, if you don't get tuned in with a radio or a television, get all the static and, you know, it's not clear at all. There's a really nice book by His Holiness Giriraj Maharaj. I think it may be available now here. What is it? I'll Build You a Temple. I'll Build You a Temple, yeah. And it's a lot of Giriraj Maharaj's personal association with Srila Prabhupada, and he had a huge amount. And some of the things, it's amazing. It's just truly amazing. Giving us insights into the heart of Srila Prabhupada. Because that's a place. So even though we've, you know, the majority of us here have not really had association with Prabhupada personally in the physical face-to-face sense, but if you study the biographies, then you'll get very clear glimpses and very clear views into the heart of Prabhupada, including his humility. So humility is it's like a treasured piece of jewelry for a devotee. Srila Baladeva Vidyabhushan talks about humility. He says, humility is like a valuable gem. If you can imagine one of these super diamonds, that is just worth millions in the market. So humility is like that. It's like a super gem of just incredible value. But Baladeva Vidyabhushan says, however, the mind and the senses, the conditioned mind and the senses, they're like a gang of heavy thieves. And if you don't guard your jewel of humility very carefully, these heavy thieves, they'll find a way in. And maybe they'll just knock you aside, and they'll steal the gem, and then it's going to be a problem for you, for us. Brother David Jibushan said that about humility. He also said it about determination in Krishna consciousness. Determination, dedication, that resolute sense that we are going, we are moving forward in Krishna consciousness. So let us please meditate on these things. We will continue tomorrow. And we'll go into some more meditations. But just remember what I said the other day. Do you remember? I said that we may struggle to be humble. We may struggle to be humble. So we suggested a sort of a strategy, you could say, a prayer. We suggested that we could pray to Krishna, that Krishna, I know I'm stupid, but the problem is, I'm so stupid, I can't see how stupid I am. So Krishna, please give me some insights into what I really am, so then I can become actually humble. In a real and natural way. Because you can only become truly humble if you actually see that, wow, look at me. You know, I'm just really so much lacking. If you don't see that in yourself, how are you going to actually be humble? You've got to have something to be humble about. You can't just sort of talk yourself into it, psych yourself up, hype yourself. So this is a suggestion, pray to Krishna like that sometimes. That, my Lord, I know I'm a fool, I'm very unqualified. The problem is I'm such a fool, I can't see what a fool I am. So please give me some insight like this, so I can actually start becoming truly humble. Hare Krishna, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Sadhu Sangha Prabhu Ki Jai.
Hare Krishna, thank you very much Maharaj for the wonderful class today, and thank you also for all the devotees for sacrificing your Saturday evening to be here and to hear some of the Leela that Maharaj has been sharing with us. So thank you for that. Maharaj, we do have two questions, so I'm going to read them out to you, and hopefully you can respond to them. Hare Krishna Maharaj, how does one maintain humility in one's dealings with devotees, but at the same time prevent oneself from being taken advantage of, treated poorly to an extent it affects one's consciousness and further services?
Now, I know the question doesn't come from you personally, I assume, yeah. So, you know, what is this point? The devotees treat you poorly. I don't know. I mean, sometimes some devotees get a little sort of disturbed or negatively minded, and they may say something a little, mildly insulting or something. But on the whole, devotees don't treat other, definitely real aspiring devotees, those who are trying to be devotees, don't treat other devotees poorly. If they ever do, it's just a mistake. But, there was a question the other day about being used as a doormat. Do you remember? Oh, you don't? Okay. Do you remember? I remember the term was used, being used as a doormat. And normally that's taken to be bad. You know, people walk all over the top of you. But then I thought, afterwards, a bit too late, I thought, if you get treated as a doormat by the devotees, that means you get their lotus feet on your head all the time. That's good. But anyway, you know, I understand that idea. You know, the thing is, if you talk about being taken advantage of, like, I'll give you an example. Program finishes here. There's prasadam. We're going to chant japa here for a while. And gradually the devotees will go off and I'll go off also. And you may be the last one left. And then some temple authority figure comes and says, could you please pick up all the chairs? And you may think, oh no, I'm only going to pick up all the chairs and move them. It's going to take, you know, 15 minutes. I got caught out. Or you're about, after you've moved all the chairs, you walk up past the kitchen and someone says, oh, could you wash the pots after all that? And then you think, oh no, caught again. But, you know, the thing is about being asked to do things which are not part of your prescribed duty as given to you by authority. The first thing is, it's always nice to help devotees if you can. The second thing is, you can't do that at the expense of your prescribed duty, because that's like your special connection with Krishna. So therefore, one has to develop the ability to very nicely, gently, humbly, but clearly, and apologetically say, you know, I'd really love to help, but at the moment I just can't because the authorities told me to do this, that, and whatever. And in that way you can nicely excuse yourself. Yeah, and not end up doing everything, you know, jack of all trades and master of none, that sort of thing. You're caught doing everything, you don't do anything nicely, and you don't do your prescribed duty nicely also. Is that okay?
Yes, Maharaj.
Okay, what's the next one?
Thank you. Maharaj, the second question is, Hare Krishna Maharaj, at what stage can we consider humility to be low self-esteem?
Right. You know, low self-esteem, it's an interesting and a little bit complex subject. Low self-esteem, it depends, but Krishna-conscious low self-esteem is better than too high esteem, because that's pride, and pride is very ugly. We mentioned the other day how Prabhupada says in the Krishna book that Krishna can tolerate practically any fault in his devotee, but he doesn't tolerate pride. And actually in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishna says that if my devotee becomes proud, I change my attitude towards the devotee. And I treat the devotee in such ways that the devotee voluntarily gives this up. Means the royal order of the boot. You know, some pressure from Krishna. But Krishna conscious humility, that as we were reading, Prabhupada was saying, you know, what am I? I'm useless, I'm helpless. But Krishna is there. And Krishna is very kind. So if I take shelter of Krishna, he'll help me, everything will work out. Material so-called humility, which becomes low self-esteem and becomes depressiveness, tendency towards depression, which could literally be a killer, it means that, yes, I'm so useless, I'm helpless, I've been trying and failing for so long, I might as well give up and just, you know, even kill myself, but at least give up and just sort of wallow in misery. Yeah. Whereas Krishna conscious humility means that, yes, I'm a pretty pathetic case. I am a pretty pathetic case, but I'm trying, and Krishna's very kind. And therefore, I love trying. It's just so nice to try. I'm enthusiastic to try, to serve, and to please. So Krishna conscious humility gives rise to enthusiasm, inspiration. Yeah. Whereas material humility and, you know, like inferiority complex and all these different types of negative mentalities, they just give rise to depression, hopelessness, and ultimately they can lead to suicide. But even if they don't go that far, they just lead to a very distressed condition, very unhappy. Yeah. And, you know, of course, up until a year ago, I used to meet so many devotees every day and discuss things. And there's a certain type of devotee or person, but devotee too. You give them, they say, oh, I've got this problem. Oh, what to do? And so you give them some suggestion, and you know it's a good suggestion. And they sit there momentarily like, oh, okay. But then they spontaneously think of a reason why they can't do that. And then you give another answer. You know, well, to try this. And then silence. And then they spontaneously think of why they can't do that also. Yeah. This is like, from a devotee, it's borderline material consciousness and sort of depressive consciousness. Not willing to accept worthwhile suggestions for progressing and becoming happier. Okay.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Maharaj. Before we get to the next part of the program, just